Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hi, this is Jessica with Turn the Page podcast, and my guest today is
Sue Lowe.
Welcome, Sue. I am really happy to have you here on Turn the Page. Would you like to tell us a little bit about your evil plan to save the world?
And your sure. Book? Yeah. So I was listening to NPR several years ago. They were talking about how after the Hunger Games came out, the number of girls trying archery skyrocketed. And I work in the software industry. I've been at Microsoft for over 20 years, and we've had a very difficult time getting women and minorities to, go into software. And so that made me go, wow, if companies like Microsoft and Amazon and Google were really serious about trying to get more girls and more diversity in software, we should have the Hunger Games for software. And of course, not killing each other, but some kind of, blockbuster story, really exciting adventure that really gets kids excited about working with computers. So I was saying this to friends of mine, and one of them, who's a little bit crazy, said, there are ghostwriters. Like, let's go. We could do this. And so that scared me at first. But it I took it as a challenge and said, well, if I were to hire a ghostwriter, how would I make this thing happen? And what kind of story would I want it to be? So I spent a while thinking up the plot of a book, and then came up with some characters and a plot and stuff that I really liked. And then ran a Kickstarter to help pay for the ghostwriting. So I didn't actually write this book, but I am publishing it. So, and it came out just this year in May.
So. Very good. And I see it's been getting some buzz. From I believe Kirkus?
Kirkus gave it a really good review. I was quite pleased. And it is, it's a really fun, quick story. So
tell us about the book and about the Hunger Games with no killing, but also software.
Sure. So the story itself is a fun adventure. It's not some, lecture about how kids should get into software. It's just a fun adventure. It's called Raven. The idea is that software companies have a hard enough time getting people to work there that they have started their own academies. So the students in this story are just studying at an academy. They're working towards getting, the equivalent of a bachelor's degree in computer science. And when they're done, they work at the company a bit to work off their debt, and then they're free and they can go do whatever they want to do. So they go to school for free, learn how to build software, work for a while, and then they go off. And so the students in this story, they haven't finished their studying, but they're already starting to work at the company and they're on this team. And the leader of the academy is a Pacific Northwest Native man who, he likes to make these totems for all the students who were orphans. And so he has made a raven totem for the girl who's leading the team, the raven team. So her name's Fireball, and she and several other characters have been working together on a team for a while. And they've just been assigned a new team member, a new guy whose parents were tragically killed. And they've been hired to investigate a bank that has been hacked. And the funny thing is I came up with this plot line before the big credit company that was hacked. And once that came down, Equifax, once that came down, I was like, I got to get this book out, you know, like I got to get this book written out before it comes true.
I feel like that's the thing. And I was just talking to another author about this, how like speculative fiction has a very short shelf life of it actually being speculative.
Yeah.
Because it comes true very often.
Yeah, so I had to hurry and get it out because I didn't want more of the story to be true. They spend the time investigating what this hack is from and trying to figure out why there's some people stalking the kid who's just joined their team. So it's a fun and quick read.
It sounds really good. Are you hoping to make it a series?
I am, because, you know, that just helps bring more people to, you know, more attention to the book, because ultimately my goal is just to excite more young people about computers. And so the more stories we get in there, the more they'll stick with it. So,
I mean, it is true. You know, you have like, God, how many decades of Harry Potter? And my coworker told me that Quidditch is an actual sport at his daughter's school.
Yeah.
Like, no joke. He's like, oh, yeah, she's joining the Quidditch team. And I'm like, and you can't see because this is audio, but like, my hand is now like massaging the bridge of my nose. And I'm like, wait, at a school?
Yeah.
Like a public school? Yeah, no, they play Quidditch at public school.
Sorry, I've lost my Wi-Fi a bit.
No, it's okay.
My noisy husband and hide.
That's fine.
Yeah.
So, you know, but like my point is, in regards to Raven, is, you know, like you get these fandoms that build these worlds around themselves and just sort of take it to the next level and say, you know, like maybe it got you into reading medieval literature, maybe it got you into archery. Mm-hmm. You know, like, hey, this book inspired me to study computers.
Yeah, that's the goal. Is even if people don't go on and study computer science, it might help, you know, kind of reduce some barriers for them and make them a little more comfortable and make them feel a little more ready to try it someday. So
there's an empowerment in feeling like something isn't beyond you.
Absolutely. Yeah, and just seeing other role models that are like you in there can help lower that bar. So that was really my goal.
Yeah, there's really, I think that is, you know, another thing. Everybody deserves to see themselves represented in something they love and in, you know, just the media in general. And not in like a tokenism type way.
Yeah, no, that was part of the motivation. It's, you know, I was thinking about how are software people represented in popular media? And you think about, there are very few cases in them at all, but, you know, the examples that do exist are like Silicon Valley. All the examples that you can find in popular media have very nerdy, really stereotyped people in them. You know, they might not all be white males, but there are very few strong women. There are very few minorities of any kind. And I wanted to just provide a counterexample of that so that other people see themselves in software and in tech, even if they're just going through daily lives. You know, the whole idea is that, you don't have to focus on the fact that they are a minority or a woman in tech. You just focus on some kind of fun adventure. And then it just becomes part of what we all live and breathe, you know?
Yeah.
So
it sounds really cool. So is it available in ebook, hardcover, everything?
It's paperback and ebook. I didn't do hardcovers. So.
That's okay. Paperbacks are easier to carry.
Yeah.
As are ebooks, but so really quickly, so I'm also curious, so how how was it finding a ghostwriter? Did you have to find a ghostwriter who also understood software?
It was interesting. So there are several big name ghostwriting agencies out there. They end up helping connect you to the writers that would match well with your project. So I did not know what writer I'd be working with when I hired a ghostwriting agency, but they did happen to find someone who had some software industry experience. So it worked out really well. I feel that, obviously I'm not a professional writer, and my goal was to make a really good book. And the best way to do that is to hire a pro who knows what they're doing. And I thought that my writer did a great job.
That's fantastic. I know a lot of bestsellers started out as ghostwriters, and that's nothing to sneeze at. I know like so many people wrote like the old Star Wars series from the 80s and 90s. And it's basically like fan fiction, but commissioned fan fiction. So yeah. It's nothing to sneeze at. This is the first time that I've ever heard of somebody who basically says, I have this really good idea, but I know my own boundaries. I'm not going to try to write this myself. And that's not a knock to you. I actually find that really admirable, because I don't think a lot of people are willing to do that. But to be like, I want to work with somebody who knows this craft and make this happen.
Yeah, well, for one thing, it's not cheap. And for another, for a lot of people, it's also about the process of writing. You know, they love that book and they want to make it theirs. And it's definitely, it takes a little bit of faith to give your project to somebody else and trust them with it. But I knew that it would turn out better that way. And it really did. There's no way it would have been this good if I had written it. So,
did you get to, like, did you edit it yourself at all? Or did you kind of get, like, the final say on everything, including the cover, which is beautiful?
I had final say on everything. I own the book, and I could have completely rewritten it if I wanted to. I did not. I made some minor edits, but I left it very much how it originally had been written by the writer. So, and I did choose the cover. I actually hired an artist to make the artwork for the front and then kind of put it all together myself.
That's very cool. So you've got, so Fireball is the main character.
Yeah.
So who are the other members of her team?
So, aside from Fireball, their newcomer is someone, so all of them get nicknames, but, you know, everyone at the Academy has their own little handle that they've come up with for themselves. So Fireball chose her name because she's pretty, you know, sparky, pretty energetic and independent. There's the newcomer is, everybody's calling him Noob until he figures out his own nickname. So he's Noob throughout the story, even though his name is on Angel. And then there are, so there's Scrappy, who is a, Noob is Hispanic. Scrappy is, it doesn't really say. I had imagined him as also Hispanic, but it's not really stated in the book. He is gay though. And then there's the brother and sister Books and Wiz. So Books loves studying stuff. He's kind of like a walking encyclopedia, so that's why they call him Books. And Wiz is, she's a fast typist, but she's really good with people. And Books and Wiz are both Black characters. And then, we've got the last member of the team is Cricket, who is a, her dad was a Vietnamese immigrant and now is a farmer in California.
So really quickly, do you want to tell us a little bit also about the Kickstarter method,
sure.
How that worked?
Well, I am fortunate because I was working on a project about diversity in software, and there are many people in the software industry who care about diversity, and I've worked in the software industry for over 20 years, so it was pretty easy for me to get a lot of support from the people that I have and had worked with in the past. But Kickstarter in general, you know, it's a bit of a risk because you put projects out there and either they get funded 100% or they get funded 0%. You know, you can't just go ask people for money and take whatever you get. You have to completely fund the project or it fails.
Right.
And luckily I was able to complete it with a lot of great support from people that I work with. I had hoped it would also help generate more energy about the project, but Kickstarter doesn't really do that. It's really, you have to kind of already have an audience. So
if librarians, libraries, people listening to this podcast would like to read the book, where should they go?
It's available on any major ordering, you know, so libraries might want to know that Ingram Spark distributes it. I forget the company that a lot of libraries buy books from, but it should be available there.
There's Ingram, and then there's also Baker and Taylor.
Yeah, so I think Ingram just distributes to Baker and Taylor. So,
yes.
So it should be available there. And then any readers out there, you know, you can find it on. I like to push IndieBound because people can buy it from their local bookstore. But, you know, Amazon, if you like getting the ebooks, you can get it off of Kobo or, you know, it's on Barnes & Noble. So.
Very cool. Well, I certainly hope that the sequel to Raven will be out. And I hope that you are able to generate that spark because it sounds really exciting and it sounds like a really good idea.
Yeah. And, you know, in the end, it's just a fun story. So, even if you're not into diversity and software, well, it's a fun story.
So what, and the website is Evil Plan to Save the World?
Yeah, Evil Plan to Save the dot world.
Dot world, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sue. So we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.